So Rob and I are, I mean, everyone in here knows what we're working on, but Rob and I are working on a startup called Lightning Pay. That's getting really close to getting its first product out the door. You know, the goal of the business we're working on is, had our mission from the very beginning, is connecting New Zealand to the Lightning Network, or connecting New Zealand to Bitcoin.
Hello, I am Cody Ellingham, and this is the Transformation of Value podcast. In this episode, I host a Kiwi Bitcoin Builders call with a few people working on Bitcoin businesses, education, and projects in New Zealand. We debrief on the success of the recent BitKiwi meetup events in Queenstown and also share some of the things that people are working on. These will become monthly calls, so if you are working on a Bitcoin project in New Zealand of any kind, do please reach out to me and we can connect. Just send me an email at hello@thetransformationofvalue.com. If you would like to support the show, please consider boosting some sats via your favorite podcasting 2.0 platform, or just share an episode with a friend who may be interested in Bitcoin. Otherwise, on to the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Was everyone in Queenstown for BitKiwi? You were there, Brandon. What about yourself, Rob? Were you?
No, unfortunately, I wasn't. Just didn't work in with other things. But I'm all fully booked for the halving, though, so I won't be missing that.
Awesome.
Well, we got the BitKiwi guys here sharing a mic. So I don't know. I thought maybe we could start off just by catching up on that again. I'm sort of the one who was tardy and wasn't actually at BitKiwi Queenstown, so I'm keen to just hear how it went. Do a bit of a debrief from you guys, if that's all right.
Yeah, it was awesome, eh? Well, it went probably better than we expected, to be honest. There was heaps of people. It came off really well. The speakers were great. Shout out Brendan and Rob Cumming. It was just really good, eh? There was a really good community feel. Like, it was a great feeling. Heaps of awesome Bitcoin conversation. A venue accepting Bitcoin was pretty cool. It was only Wallace Satoshi on a few phones, but I think every payment passed. I kept asking them if he had any failures or any troubles or hassles. They said none at all. I trained one guy over the bar in about 5 seconds. Went off without a hitch, eh? It couldn't have been better, really. Loved it.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we talked the other day, Paul, and you said maybe like 40 or 50 people you had at your sort of the maximum.
Yeah, I think we counted nearly 50 at about the peak. I kept doing the odd head count just to check. I think it was nearly 50. We pretty much packed out that space that we had. It was a great audience.
Yeah, that's a pretty awesome turnout when you think about it, though.
Yeah, like, people, the Bitcoin community in New Zealand is fantastic. Eh? Like, most of them, there was only probably five or so, or maybe 10 from Queenstown. Everyone else pretty much traveled in. Like, it was just amazing. Everyone seems to be just coming along each time, getting involved. And you look at the other stuff going on around the world, I think we're getting a pretty good per capita rate at this thing now. So New Zealand's gone from not many meetups around to heaps of us getting together. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And how about the presentations? Because there was a couple of talks at the Christchurch one last year, but this time around, and Brandon, be keen to hear how you felt it went in terms of the presentations and that side of things. We've got Rob Clarkson joining us now as well.
I was talking about it. I just proposed a hypothetical future in which the price runs and fees run, and how you should be thinking about being a sovereign Bitcoin around that environment. A lot of it was opinion and sort of did my best to make it quantifiable in some way. But I think for the next handful of hours, for the rest of the night, we're having some good conversation about different parts of that and trying to understand the relative trade-offs between the different options you might have. And, it was really good. I really enjoyed it, and the audience was awesome. They were all engaged. It was the venue was perfect for that sort of thing. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. And I think Rob Clarkson, are you in and out, or are you?
Hey, I'm here. I just thought I might turn my video off because it's probably quite distracting.
No worries. how did you find BitKiwi Queenstown, Rob?
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome to have so many Bitcoiners in Queenstown. I know some of the locals who came down had a really good time. Got some nice messages. So, yeah, well done, Paul and Dan. Great work.
Yeah. Any other thoughts from the BitKiwi guys?
Oh, you mentioned the venue, Brandon. Yeah, I didn't mention that. The venue was just perfect, eh? Easily the best sort of, I guess, supportive venue, and then just the best space and setup that we've had, like the speakers. It's a huge step up from Christchurch when we had Brandon talk, and we had a shared space, and then all of a sudden he had to compete with rugby. It was pretty crazy, and he soldiered on like an animal. But this Queenstown was just amazing, having a private space and a little raised stage, and so everyone could actually just hear it properly and just be focused. It was way more professional. It was just really awesome. Brandon's slide deck accompanying his talk as well was great to be able to have that up and supporting it properly. It was really cool.
And I think the other thing we talked about maybe last year, prior to Queenstown happening, was it's a really good international venue. Did you have any international people come through at all? Any sort of tourists or visitors who just happened to be in town, or was it mainly
No, I
people
don't
who
think we did, eh? Like,
was
nah, no
locals?
one. But that definitely get that feel that there was a great place for it if we were going to get people from overseas. And it really got us thinking, and we think we're going to try and go back there every year now. So we've started planning straight away for potentially Queenstown in 12 months' time. So we've got the halving party coming up in April in Wellington. We're still looking in details for Christchurch in July, but that'll be the 20th of July. And we're trying to secure a fully booked venue for that as well, so we can do something similar and not be interrupted. And then, yeah, we haven't, October will most probably be Wellington. We haven't planned too much with that yet, but then we're thinking going back to Queenstown in February, March next year. So we've already started putting some feelers out, starting trying to lock down some details so we can get it booked in far out and people can plan for it again. And we'll even try and we'll talk to the Bitcoin Alive guys in Sydney and try and time in a little bit with them. And then we might be able to get some overseas visitors who can swing by both. So yeah, that's our thinking now after that event, because it was so successful and the venue was so great. So we're going to go back there and try and grow it more in Queenstown and make that sort of the flagship of the year.
That's an incredible idea, and I love the idea of linking in with Bitcoin Alive, because there will be a lot of people coming to the Southern Hemisphere, and it is a bit of a trek coming from the USA or Europe for that. And so if there's something happening sort of in the same period of time, it could be really great to have some of that community make their way over to New Zealand, which isn't super on the radar for Bitcoin globally right now, but I think that could change certainly in the next little while.
Yeah, hopefully that's the plan. And yeah, sorry, we're going to reach out to you too, Rob Clarkson. That might be news to you. We obviously had you in mind to keep involved, being our man on the ground.
Awesome. No, that's great. I'm stoked that you guys are coming back down again. I'll help out with anything I can.
Sweet.
And I think the other big idea that we might have talked about as well previously was in terms of sort of the premier city for Bitcoin in New Zealand. I mean, it seems like Queenstown's got a lot of good things going for it, and so it could perhaps in a way become a model community with a venue that already accepts Bitcoin natively, some Bitcoin businesses, Bitcoin locals, and it's also kind of the destination internationally for a lot of people. And so it sort of potentially sets itself up as sort of the Bitcoin lakes or whatever it ends up being, but the place that you go to. And I think previously there was a conference a couple of years ago, maybe a decade ago now at this point, with Andreas Antonopoulos and a few others, right, in Queenstown.
Yeah, I think others might know more about it, but I think it was Fran organized something quite a few years ago, and there was some, I think Andreas Antonopoulos was here, some pretty big names, and his the talk he gave is in one of the books in his Internet of Money series. I was quite surprised to come across that. I think I'm not sure if anyone else knows about it, but I did hear about
Yeah, I was
it.
there. It was great. He did his talk in Queenstown was money as a content type, because of the MIME types that we have. We have like text slash HTML, text slash CSS, and he was saying money slash Bitcoin was is obviously just another sort of form of content that is now transferred on the internet. He was making the point that you can encode a Bitcoin transaction into a cat picture and send it that way. So no, it was really cool. Yeah, there was Tone Vase was here as well, and Jeffrey, author, can't remember his name. What's his second name? Jeffrey Tucker was here. He was great. I'm trying to think. Vitalik Buterin was actually here, but it was pre-Ethereum, I think, or Ethereum was just in the throes of getting going. So he didn't talk. He was just here, sort of doing the circuit. I think the conference circuit. There was some miners as well. I can't remember who they were, and some Bitcoin musicians came. There was my memory's failing me now. Some big names at the time. Anyway.
Was it a conference type setup or?
Yeah, it was at the kind of it was at the Millennium. So yeah, we were in the big event hall there, and there was quite a lot of people from all over New Zealand. I think there was like 100, 150 people, something like that. There's a lot of people down for it. It was great. It was awesome. It was ahead of its time, maybe in some ways.
Interesting. Well, it's sort of. Yeah. Something I was talking to you about, Paul, is sort of the different sort of types of conference setups that you have. You know, I really enjoyed the Nostra Asia conference, and what really stood out to me was the importance of the breakout rooms and sort of the informal conversations, and the talks are almost an aside and a reason to be there, but they're not the main content. And so having the ability to sort of mingle and that sort of thing is really important. So I think there's a lot we can learn, especially also from the unconference concept of sort of, you know, open sourcing some of the planning and just how it works as a, so there's sort of different models of organizing things, which can be really interesting. Cool. Any other comments about BitKiwi?
I wondered if next time we have like a demo of some of the stuff, because I missed catching Brandon's beverage delivery mechanism, because I was too busy sort of chatting and just just chatting really. I meant to look at Z's stall as well, and I sort of almost missed it. I got there right at the end, so I don't know, maybe it's just me being disorganized, but I wonder if we can, like, if we do like a, I don't know, like a demo, or we have demos, or I don't know. I'm not really adding anything here, but yeah, if there's some way we can solve for checking out everybody's sort of gadgets. And the seed hammer was cool as well, and I didn't really get to see that in operation either, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think that's a pretty cool idea, because I was the same. I wanted to see the seed hammer, and I wanted to see Brandon's drinks machine in action, and I just got caught up doing stuff and talking to people in that, and it's not a bad idea, eh? I think I've noted it down. We'll definitely have a look at it, because it might be cool if people are bringing things along to schedule a little demo session or something. And that's the kind of sort of the way we're trying to plan it. Like, talk before about different types of events, Cody. We were talking a lot about this, and we kind of think that BitKiwi is sort of its own thing. Like, we talked about growing and scaling up and organizing some sort of conference, but actually, you know, it's growing. It's not quite a meetup. It's a sort of an event, but we don't want to go out on a limb and claim and follow some blueprint from overseas for a conference either. So I think we just want to keep growing it, sort of scaling it as it scales itself in the same way we have so far, and just keep growing and growing and being flexible and be able to expand it and react if we get increased interest in things, and organize it in ways that people are interested in and things we just want to do, and just doing it sort of, I guess, the cliche, a bit of the Kiwi way a little bit, and just doing our own thing. So yeah, that's a real cool idea, right? That's the kind of ideas we're looking at. So I made a note of that, and we'll look into it.
Yeah, I was going to mention something similar. I think connecting something Cody said earlier to that idea, you know, with the talks and everything, I think they obviously went really well given the venue. And I think because we had a little bit more time, you know, we weren't, you know, interrupting a significant part of the event, but, you know, people are having an awesome time, right? And, you know, I set that thing up in the corner, the beer tap that I made, but I never went back to it. You know, so I'm, you know, The point is, like, you know, people are having a good time and engaging, talking Bitcoin, and, like, you know, if we have too many things, it might be a little bit too disruptive and that sort of thing. But, like, if we had a bit of a schedule, and, like, you know, if it was elective for people to go over into the corner and, you know, show off this little thing, I think it would just be a nice add-on to sort of just let people go and you know, enjoy the side event or the little demo on the side, and just be a little bit, just point at the things, but, you know, let people do what they want to do as well, I think would be good.
Yeah. And I mean, the other just idea that comes to mind as well is just my experience with the Nostra Asia event. You know, there it comes down to a human resources thing, but sort of, you know, having someone there who's sort of like, hey, you know, you're here for the event, you know, check this out. There's this thing over here, there's that thing over there. And sort of maybe for people who haven't been to an event before, it sort of can be nice to have that. I'm not sure if, again, I wasn't there, but having that sort of guidance, because it can be something you go and you check it out and then you start mingling with people and then you start talking. But it's sort of, you know, having the equipment, having the demos, having the book corner and those sort of things as a kind of an entrance way, and it sort of helps people feel welcome. And certainly that was what I've seen at the conferences I've been to. It's sort of, yeah, it's sort of, especially if someone's a bit shy or they don't know anyone, it can be nice to point them in a direction at the book corner or something they can have a look at that's kind of tangible. Cool. All right. So I am keen. So we talked a little bit about BitKiwi. I am keen to also just maybe go around and catch up on just general stuff that people are working on. I mean, this is sort of the Kiwi Bitcoin builders, and we're all working away on stuff. So I thought if anyone had anything they wanted to share, or even anything more broadly in the Bitcoin space that they've discovered. I know there's been a few things come out recently with the emails with Satoshi that have just been made public and a few other things. So happy to open the floor to what people are working on. Bitcoin or just stuff that they've been interested in lately.
Yeah, I'm happy to jump in here. So Rob and I are, and everyone in here knows what we're working on, but Rob and I are working on a startup called Lightning Pay that's getting really close to getting its first product out the door. The goal of the business we're working on we had our mission from the very beginning is connecting New Zealand to the Lightning Network, or connecting New Zealand to Bitcoin. Just looking around at the tools that people have available in other parts of the world, and the relative lack of, you know, particularly innovation around Lightning and, you know, the leading edge of Bitcoin in from a technology perspective, we just, you know, interested in bringing that here. So the first thing we're doing is just making the easiest, cheapest way for you to get Bitcoin in your Lightning wallet. And so that's the first thing out the door. We're going to do a closed beta here pretty soon. It's been 2 weeks TM for 2 weeks. So it's probably still 2 weeks TM at the moment, but we're feeling really good about it. In addition to that, we're doing merchant tools and trying to make payments a thing that's attractive here in New Zealand to think about using the Lightning Network as well. And long range, you know, thinking about what it looks like to be to build tools that are specific for the environment we live in here, right? To make it possible for people to, you know, look at Bitcoin from a Kiwi perspective and see something valuable. So we're going to keep going on that path and really excited to be where we're at. So that's just announcement of announcement, I guess. We're getting close, feeling really good about what we're doing. So it's been a huge ride with, you know, a lot of big barriers and hurdles to get over, particularly from a compliance perspective. It's maybe we're talking about that a different time, but that's been quite the adventure. But we're getting close. So feeling really good about that.
Nice. I'm just wondering if I can ask you a question about that, Brandon. You're talking about Lightning, buying Bitcoin via Lightning. So this is an exchange functionality. Is that what you mean?
Yep. So the main, the real first product that we're aiming for in terms of trying to get the word out and find more broader adoption outside of Bitcoin circles is going to be around payments, around merchant payments and retail settings and things like that. But part of what we wanted to solve was that, at least here in New Zealand, there's not a lot of people that are banging down the door to get Bitcoin, right? So we're trying to find a different way to do it and a different way to attract people to set up Bitcoin payments. We want to make it as easy as possible, and we want to find a way to attach a real value proposition that merchants actually want. And the, you know, one of the big things that we all know here is that the fees we pay on Visa and MasterCard rails and the surcharges that get passed on to customers, and that whole thing is a bit of a mess. We have among the highest fees in the Western world, and that's our pitch. So we want to get New Zealand dollars in merchants' hands, if that's what they want, and do it more cheaply than Visa or MasterCard does. But in order to do that, we actually need an exchange function, that works really well and is actually cheap. So that needs to exist in parallel as well. So that's the first thing we're getting out the door, because it has to exist for the rest of it to work.
Well, just on that note, I just thought it's worth putting out there for context. You know, I had a chat with a guy here in Japan, where I'm based at the moment, about setting up an exchange in Japan and what that entails. And I think we can, the situation in New Zealand, certainly you've had challenges, but it's a lot more open than somewhere like Japan. And he was quoting $500,000 just to comply is sort of the figure you need to go through all the banking regulations and the mega bureaucracy here. So I think there is an opportunity, and you guys have done really well to work through that just with a small team. But the ability to have Lightning as an exchange level engagement, I think there's something really powerful about that as well, from a KYC perspective, from a from an access perspective, a fees perspective. And I haven't seen any other exchanges in New Zealand have that functionality. I'm not sure. I think there was rumors about Easy Crypto having that and a few other things, but it hasn't materialized. And so you're still going on chain, which, as we know, with high fees can be challenging. And so I think there's a real, just on the exchange front, there's a real value proposition there. Just being able to get it into my Lightning wallet and spend it.
I mean, I completely agree. I mean, I think part of what we're thinking about as we go through this, you know, we went back and forth a lot about how hard we need to go at making sure we facilitate on-chain payments and things like that. But I think, you know, if you were pointing ourselves at the future and looking at, you know, what the world looks like, you know, my talk was all at Kiwi was all about this. It was about, like, what does the world look like in 4 years, right? And if things go the way we want them to go, like, things are more expensive, both in terms of price and in terms of fees. And if there's not a way for us to stack Bitcoin on the Lightning network, its custodians all the way down is the only other alternative right now. So I think, you know, building out that future process of how both, you know, individuals who want to be stacking Bitcoin to save it, stacking Bitcoin to spend it, but also recognizing that most commerce and most transactions will happen on that layer. You know, everything under, you know, in my hypothetical, was everything under $50,000. 50,000 New Zealand dollars needs to happen on the Lightning network, right? So if that actually occurs, you know, we may have, our, in terms of our business, the thing I'm excited about is, it's like, we may be the only place in New Zealand that where it's reasonable to buy and sell Bitcoin in a couple of years' time, right? So we're glad to be, you know, and part of our motivation here is to make sure that exists, because we don't want to be stuck. Like, I'm still stacking sacks on a regular basis. And doing that through Easy Crypto on chain is going to be quite a challenge at some point. And it has been, you know, at times over the last 6 months, right? So making sure there's a way is the key thing. And that's what we're trying to do.
That's great. Thank you.
You bring up a couple of interesting points there. Well, there's two themes that I see. One is, the investment side, you know, how do we convince people that Bitcoin is a good long-term thing to get into for wealth preservation over the course of time? And the second thing is around using it as a, how do we create something that's very easily funded and people can actually put money onto it and off, you know, to and from their bank quickly and easily, because I think that is something that really is missing, I agree, in the Bitcoin space. And, you know, Rob, you and I talked about this a few months back at the Auckland BitKiwi, and I think if we had, I think, you know, full credit to you for developing something like this that's easy and fast, and it's like just as easy to use as Spotify or something like that, in order to fund. And you can get money, you put money into your Lightning wallet, you can take it out, you can transact with it, but you give the person the freedom to do what they want, and it's really, really quick and easy. And then and then you've got the second layer of actually thinking, once you get them using Bitcoin, it's like, well, actually, it's an investment
there's an investment thesis there as well. And that's what that's the angle that I'm trying to use for people at work. And I've sort of getting someone across the line on Thursday, Friday last week, actually. So we'll see how that goes over the next a colleague of mine over the next couple of days. But yeah, I was using the investment angle for that. So, but they're almost two different kinds of products, but both, you know, and almost two different kinds of people as well. But eventually, everybody's going to want to be there. So yeah, well done.
I agree. There's a huge gap in that capability in New Zealand, and I was really excited when you explained what it's going to do, Brandon, Rob. I was wondering if you could maybe just give a simple explanation, because I was getting quite excited talking with James Vigiano as well about being able to now just talk to my own retailers or people that I see frequently, stores and that, and say, now you can use this thing. So I was wondering if you could give like a super simple explanation of when you launch, what a merchant will exactly be able to do and what the sign-up process might look like for them.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for the comments, guys. Appreciate that. Yeah, it's important to note we're sort of, because we're in a startup phase, we're gonna launch with what we call the MVP, or the minimum viable product, and that is just purely the ability to go from New Zealand dollar to Lightning Bitcoin and Lightning Bitcoin back to New Zealand dollar. And so we do have grand aspirations for our merchants to have a point of sale app and have all this sort of extended functionality, but the first sort of port of call for us to launch with is this service, which is obviously the crux of everything that we need to operate everything else on top of. It is our base layer. So from the get-go, when we launch, that will be, I say, all you're able to do, but I mean, that for us is a big accomplishment. And it's been like we started, you know, the idea was spawned probably a year ago now. We registered the business 6 months ago, so it's been a long time coming. But yeah, we're going to start off with that ability, and then shortly afterwards, we will be launching a point of sale app for merchants, so that they will be able to just hopefully get their phone out of their back pocket for that odd Bitcoiner that's called in, and then dial up the app, and the app should already be connected. And then they'll punch in the New Zealand dollar amount for the sale, and then the Bitcoin will be shown a QR code. And then when they pay that, we'll be putting dollars into the bank account. So it's that's going to be coming shortly afterwards. But obviously for launch, we've got the MVP. So you, I guess, hold your excitement, or I'm trying to measure your expectations here a little bit. It's we are stoked with the MVP, and hopefully that will be enough for some merchants to go, okay, I can now do this. I can now trust that I'm accepting some Lightning Bitcoin and I can turn it into dollars easily. But we're going to be improving that experience as we go on. We're going to feel our way sort of toward the next goal. We've already got the next goal in sight and we're aiming towards it, but there's going to be a lot of feeling our way to some extent. Brandon, do you want to add any more to that?
Yeah, so all I was just going to add is, so on day one, when we get it'll be a closed beta first, but we'll be ramping that up as we feel it out. But on that first day, for a merchant, the experience is that they'll use a normal Lightning wallet to accept that Bitcoin payment. But I'm excited to show everybody what the experience is like. You know, going to Lightning Pay, electing to transfer that, either transfer dollars to Bitcoin or vice versa, is a, you know, 10-second process if you're on the Bitcoin side, right? So you say what you want to do, send the Bitcoin, and you're done. You get the dollars the next business day, right? And yeah, so we'll be rolling out that retail payment app as a next phase, so that's all automatic. You just accept the payments and you'll be able to get it on the back end the next day. But, you know, the whole purpose of this is that it's unfairly inexpensive, right? Like, we're using the Lightning Network, and you know, we're not going through 10 intermediaries and having a bunch of people take skim off the top along the way. So it's pretty easy for us to beat the fees. And so even in that situation where, you know, they're getting New Zealand dollars, you know, in a manual process after accepting it on their own Lightning wallet, we'll still be able to beat fees. So it'll be, you know, deliberatively from here, we'll go to the merchant app and continue on the journey of building the rest of it out. But yeah, that first product out the door is just the really fast way of getting in and out.
Thank you. I have a couple of comments on that as well. So just generally speaking, closed beta, I think this has proven to be a really good approach. I think that's a really good approach to look at things. And I was reflecting on how I think our Kiwi Bitcoin Builders community and sort of the way things have scaffolded in New Zealand has been really successful in terms of people putting in the proof of work and sort of how collaborations have taken place. I'm not sure. We talked probably about a year ago, the beginnings of the idea of Lightning Pay, and I think the ability for us to come together and have a community and sort of discuss the options and sort of what things could exist. I think that was a genesis, certainly for this podcast, and I think for a lot of other projects that are happening in New Zealand, was sort of, you know, having the right people in the room. And so I think there's something to be said about the role of BitKiwi and the real life meetups, and then having this, you know, the Kiwi Bitcoin Builders group as a place where we can sort of trustfully have these conversations. So I just wanted to mention that. Also, the other comment, I've been following some of the open banking stuff that's happening in New Zealand. So we're a bit late to the game compared to the UK and other places, but there's a few companies now that are looking at open banking and sort of infrastructure between banks and how that maybe can roll out. Something like Lightning Pay could become a lot more, I guess, easy to scale as you've got sort of a common language for intra-bank functionality. So a few things have come across my desk in terms of what's happening with open banking in New Zealand, and I could certainly see Bitcoin fitting and Lightning fitting in there. And I think the last thing I just wanted to mention as well is, Rob, you mentioned the talking to a colleague about Bitcoin and sort of the two ways you can broach it. But I've actually found in some of my conversations, just the recent number go up over the last couple of months has made a huge difference, because, you know, we've been in this bear market for so long that I've just sort of, you know, if they don't care, they don't care. But I've just noticed people are a little bit more open now to talking about it, and it's quite funny. It's sort of the subconscious coming through, but I think that's actually making it a little bit easier to broach conversations. I don't know if anyone else has experienced that.
Yeah, 100%. It's the odd one coming out of the woodwork again. It'll turn into a flood soon, probably.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're starting to see them all come out. First hints of vindication with some.
Yeah, I certainly agree. And it opens the conversation to the 4-year cycle historically. You know, there's some debate about whether that's ended with the ETFs sort of sucking the exchanges slowly dry like a vacuum cleaner, but we'll wait and see for that. But we're at the point in time where the conversations are becoming easier, and that last the last 2 or 3 years, what we've been doing and holding out is certainly starting to get some vindication. So other people are sort of saying, hey, you know, it's not quite as silly as what we think. And if we're at this price at this part of the cycle, then it bodes well for the next 12 months or so. But of course, most people are just interested in the price. So even if they do sort of see it as a speculative asset, at the end of the day, for most people, the price is what matters, but it is the start of the conversation.
Yeah, I agree. And I think coming back to the Lightning piece as well, just something I wanted to share. I applied for the Brains, have announced their Lightning withdrawals for mining. And so I've applied for the closed beta for that program as well. And it's actually, I think it's very exciting for what it enables for small miners as well, because I know if you're mining with an S9 or some older hardware, or just a single ASIC, your thresholds for an on-chain withdrawal can be quite high. It can cut into your profit, and if you're looking at it long term, it can be a little bit difficult. But I think something like Lightning with mining is going to be quite a revolutionary thing, which sounds like there's quite a few companies working on it in the background. And I'm really excited for what could happen with someone like Ocean coming out with Lightning Withdrawals as well, because of their block templating, which means it's the actual miner, the individual miner, is in a lot more control than you have when you're just hashing for a pool collectively. So I'm excited for what that means and sort of the emphasis on Lightning more broadly.
Yeah, I mean, that's just thinking back on previous cycles. It's a lot of recurring themes when we cross over from the bear to the bull cycle. One of those themes is that mining starts getting quite profitable, right? Because the price goes up, things get competitive, mining pools and miners start doing some crazy things, and this one's going to be interesting. There's a clear differentiation, a couple of announcements recently from mining pools, one being, Lightning payouts, Strand V2, people implementing that. On the other side, we've got Marathon skipping the mempool and having a direct service to submit your abnormal Bitcoin transaction directly through the pool. It's going to be a lot of different ways those companies are going to be attracting business. But on the Lightning side, I'm rooting for all that stuff, that and Stratum V2. That's one of the things that I didn't mention about that hypothetical scenario where the price runs and so does the fees. It's going to be tough for an individual miner who's running, a couple of ASICs out of their backyard when fees are really high to wait for a payout once every 2 years, right? If you're getting on-chain payouts, right? So that's a necessary component to keeping that that home miner viability possible. So I'm really glad to see that happen.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's really powerful, and I've certainly come around to some of the ideas that the likes of Ocean are putting out there. I think the centralization that the pools currently have and they've had over the last few years, I think there is some challenges with that, and when fees do go up, it can be hard to know exactly how much of that's been passed on to the miners. There were a few fat finger, large Bitcoin amounts paid in transaction fees over the last few months that did not get passed on to the miners. The pool basically held that money to smooth out their FPPS payout cycles. And there's an argument to be made that that's been stolen from the hashers, the miners who ought to have been paid that out. And so I'm excited what Stratum V2 and some of these other ways of approaching mining mean for the decentralization of mining, and kind of bringing it back to the pleb miner backbone, which I think there's something to be said about that, especially as you've got these big corporates with their data centers in places like the US where, they can choose what transactions they want to put in there. They might not be putting mine in there, and I'd rather, the free market decide. So, very interesting times, no doubt. Anyone else got any projects or built stuff they're building that they want to share?
Yeah, we've been sort of building something in a little bit of our spare time. It's actually a shame Kiwi Lamb's not here because he's put in the vast amount of effort so far. But we had an idea a while back that we thought would be cool for New Zealand Bitcoiners to just be able to trade amongst themselves, not trade Bitcoin, trade items. So we had an idea for a quite a simple setup of a peer-to-peer trading platform where people could put up items for sale and buy them off each other and arrange the exchange and the transaction and all in a peer-to-peer way, not dissimilar to Facebook Marketplace, but a Bitcoin-only type situation. Basically, for Bitcoiners, this isn't like a onboard new people type of thing, just something for the Bitcoiners to use to sell each other things for sats, really. So we worked with Dan and myself and Kiwi Lamb, got together and came up with a bit of a blueprint, did up some requirements and started developing it. And so it's called Orange Pages. We've got a test site sort of going at the moment. We've got a couple of key bits of functionality that we're just still to finish off. But we've reached out to a little group of, I guess beta testing is a little bit strong. We're just going to go in with a real MVP and just give it a go and see if we can find flaws in the logic of the system, see if it works, and see if it's something we can get going for the Bitcoiners. It's a really simple functionality. It should be quite awesome. It's like Lightning Sign In. If you've used Stack and Use, it's very, very similar to how do you register and sign up for that. So very little private data or anything. Because it's basically, it's when you buy or sell an item, it's really just the platform itself is really just connecting you with the buyer or seller. It's not a transaction passing through Orange Pages itself. It's a lot like Facebook Marketplace in that way. So hopefully it's quite simple to use. And then it's like a trust and reputational, I don't want to use the word trust actually.
Proof of work. Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's proof of work. There's a reputational system where you rate your trade and you build a rating for yourself so that a buyer can or a seller can choose to engage you or not, depending on how trustworthy you seem from your rating that you've earned with your proof of work. So that's actually the bit of functionality we're finishing off at the moment. There's quite a bit to that, obviously. So we're just working through that. So we don't have our official launch dates. We've kind of built this really, like literally in our spare time, we've been able to fit things. And yeah, KiwiLamb's put in many, many hours of development to get us to where we're at. We're really excited with how it's looking. It looks really cool. And so, yeah, we're hoping to get something functional end to end and up and running with a small group that we talk to at BitKiwi Queenstown. So we'll reach out to those people we talk to shortly and get email addresses and spin up a bit of a Telegram group for feedback and maybe some templates for giving us feedback so that we can just work with that group of awesome volunteers we talk to and just get it in order and ready to go for people to try. So yeah, pretty excited. It should be hopefully quite cool, and hopefully some Kiwi Bitcoiners will use it. I thought a lot about, no one wants to spend their Bitcoin, and I'll be putting things up for sale, and I want those sats, so they'll be heavily discounted. So you'll be able to, I imagine most Bitcoiners will sell things a little bit cheaper if they're getting sats for it. Maybe there's a drive to use it in that way. But yeah, we'll get something up and running soon. Pretty excited. We'll keep you updated.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And it's great to see that functionality come out, because I think there's something about markets that are very location dependent, and just physical items within New Zealand. I think there's certainly room for that, and paying with Lightning, paying sats. I think there's I can see a lot of really powerful use cases for that, and I think I look forward to seeing what comes out of it, guys.
Yeah, I think it's a cool thing about that really is because it's all peer-to-peer, the buyer and the seller can arrange how they want to do it themselves. You know, if there's some tech geeks out there and want to throw around some liquid Bitcoin to each other, they can just, there's nothing coming through the website. If someone's, I can only pay on chain, that's all they've ever known, and someone's accepting on chain, then they can just do it that way. It works out for both of them. They'll rate each other highly, and it'll be a successful trade. The only thing is, obviously, but I guess we can't police Bitcoin only, but you'd be a bit weird if you're able to register and sign in using Lightning and then you weren't trading in Bitcoin when you made a sale. So the Lightning sign in kind of adds a little bit of a barrier of, it makes a little bit of a Bitcoiners only, like you really have to know what you're doing a little bit to get involved. So that's the kind of target, is Bitcoiners trading with Bitcoiners.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm actually just on that note talking about trade and commerce, in a week or two there's here in Tokyo there's a Lightning flea market, so sort of people bring stuff they've made, sort of like a farmer's market type thing, and there was one a couple of months ago, but it got shut down. It was too successful, and there's sort of some cultural issues around sort of what Bitcoin and how it's perceived. But I thought the model for this flea market that's coming up in a couple of weeks was really cool. It's Lightning only. People have sort of tables, and it's sort of in an area that have sort of more kind of crafty stuff, a bit of sort of farmer's market type stuff. But really cool to actually have goods for sale and priced in sats. And I think we got a little bit of, you mentioned Zed had brought some stuff to Queenstown for sale, but sort of that scaled up to a number of vendors. And I think something we've always talked about is the farmer's market is a really ideal situation for Lightning payments. You see them, they're struggling with their FPOS units at the farmer's market, and you think, man, what are you doing? Just use your phone and use Lightning. So there could be some synergy around Lightning Pay and some of the other stuff that we've talked about today, perhaps.
It's a great point you make. It jogs my memory about
I thought a way you could use Lightning Pay, so the organizer of a market could register for a Lightning Pay account, and then everybody who comes there could buy some Lightning Bitcoin off them for payment to the seller, to the merchants there who receive all the Bitcoin, and then that would be done really quickly and really cheaply. And then the merchants could all then sell their Bitcoin back to the market organizer at the end to get New Zealand dollars out if they wanted to, and the market organizer could organize that. And that was the reason that it made me think of that is because I went to a food market in Queenstown. It was all in the, it was in the sports hall, and there was lots of food vendors there, but there were most of them were like not official sort of retailers. They were just, you know, they were good at cooking something and brought it down to share with other people, but obviously needed compensation for the food they were handing out. So for a pop-up market, I figured that Lightning would using Lightning Pay in combination could be way cheaper than trying any other way of dealing with cash or dealing with card or anything like that, because if every merchant was to have a terminal, that would be prohibitively expensive for the market organizer. So yeah, one use case there for Lightning Pay, as well as just for an individual retailer. Yeah.
On that note, I wonder if, again, coming back to the Queenstown kind of hub, putting resources into that as a thing, I wonder, you know, maybe we can broach that offline, but just, you know, who's organizing these markets and these sort of events and that, because I think certainly there's an opportunity for that to all be tied in, and it becomes an option, you know, an option, and it's really easy. And as you say, trying to lug around these FPOS units, and just especially if you're a small business, I think to get one of those set up is quite cost prohibitive. And so this is a case where the barriers that the banks put in place for having these units available actually can be the entry point for someone who's just, you know, baking cakes or, you know, doing some stuff sort of personally, and they just want to sell it really easily, to just use your, you know, to use a Lightning app. And I think, again, with the number go up that's happened, I think some of the public perceptions around money, around Bitcoin have slowly changed since we had that, because we talked about this maybe a year ago. I remember we were talking about sort of farmers markets and things. I think things have slowly changed, and so we might find there's actually people are a little bit more open to it.
Yeah, I really like these ideas. I mean, I think the thing that we're constantly thinking about as we're building things out is like, how do we beat the incumbents at their own game? You know, the using the barriers we've been over a lot of them. we've jumped over a lot of hurdles over the last 6 months. But, you know, having seen those hurdles, like, those are opportunities to do things differently, right? And finding the people that are encountering those same problems are the places in which we make ground, right? And this is one of those, right? If you're a random person showing up to this, you know, sell something you poured your heart into, but you don't want to go and pay them, you know, go through a lengthy setup process and pay a monthly fee and get some hardware shipped to your house and pay, you know, some minimum fee, you know, for all the transactions you might get in that day, just for the sake of, like, you know, selling a few hot dogs, like, you know, it's going to be a tough go. But any one of us can do this, right? Like, this is not something that we even need Lightning Pay for. Like, any one of us can do this using, you know, tools we have set up in our closet, and make this a reality. And that's a superpower that we have. And finding ways to use that is something we need to do more of, I think.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I guess, come back to stuff that we're building as well and sort of working on, I'm certainly keen, just moving forward. So, you know, we've all caught up today, and I hope in sort of looking at the last Sunday of every month as an opportunity for us to, for whoever is interested, Kiwi Bitcoin builders, to jump on a call and just sort of reconnect. And I think of it sort of in between meetups, in between real life events, having a forum for just sharing ideas and sort of keeping things going. And I think that, Rob, you, because you did one a couple of weeks ago, I believe, and I think that was sort of, would you say that was the impetus of sort of keeping in touch with people and that sort of thing? Or
I think, yeah, for some of us who are more spread out in New Zealand, who unfortunately aren't able to get to a meetup, it's sort of, it would be cool to just have an online thing where you can just, you know, talk the breeze with your fellow Bitcoiner. It just dawned on me, yeah, because I'm organizing them in Queenstown, but again, it's like, you know, you guys are all spread out all over the show, and so I can't be just waiting once a year for my, I mean, I'm stoked now to be waiting once a year for my Queenstown BitKiwi, but yeah, if we can add some extra extra little online ones on the way, that'd be great as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that sounds great. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and make it a thing, and whoever's available can jump on. And I think my other sort of goal with this, talking about New Zealand and Bitcoin longer term, you know, I'm having a lot of conversations now with people as I travel and do stuff overseas, and, you know, the topic of New Zealand comes up, and it's not, you know, we haven't really got any of the big names like that maybe somebody like Australia has in terms of products that are internationally used. Hopefully that will change maybe with some of the things that are coming out now, but that you guys are working on. But I think this is a really good forum for people listening to my podcast to actually get a glimpse and under the hood of sort of what's happening in the New Zealand community. I think there's some really good building going on, and we certainly punch above our weight. And I've said this to a couple of you guys offline in terms of my experience in different parts of Asia and the Bitcoin community here, and how I think there's some really good potential, and there's some really good outcomes that are already taking, you know, happening in New Zealand, despite, you know, small population and that sort of thing. But there's sort of some really good fundamentals there that I think can help aid, you know, Bitcoin in New Zealand, and ultimately help us get out of this kind of economic malaise that we're in with everything going on. But sort of seeing it as just a way for people on the outside to get a glimpse at what's going on here.
Yeah, this has been really good, Cody. I've really enjoyed it. I'll definitely be keen to jump in once a month if we do it. It's just really actually quite valuable hearing about people's thoughts and what they're doing. A couple of things we were murmuring to each other, we got some great ideas. We've noted down to investigate later as well around events. So yeah, it's been really valuable. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, cool. Is there anything else anyone wants to bring up, or maybe we can look at wrapping up in a minute?
I was going to say, Craig Lusty mentioned he's working on some interesting mining grid project. So I was kind of half hoping he'd be signing in. I guess he's quite busy, but yeah, it'd be interesting to hear about what he's up to. So yeah, maybe you should give him a shout. Cody, have you ever had Lusty on your podcast before?
No, I have caught up with him in person though. We went out and checked out a wind farm. He drove, cool, gave me a tour and up near Palmerston North, which was really interesting. I learned a lot, and looking back, it was quite informative at some of the conversations that emerged around load balancing. But you know, I am following the energy piece really closely. I've got a few people that I'm reaching out to at the moment. I think that's one of the big things as well, alongside the strong community of Bitcoiners in New Zealand, is the energy story. And I've had a few conversations with different people, as you know, about that. But I think there's more to unlock there from an infrastructure perspective. And I'm excited for what that might look like over the next year. Rob, anything else from you? Or
nothing else really. As I said, I've talked to three people, I think, that I've got across the line or getting across the line in terms of getting on board with Bitcoin. And I think I agree with Paul, it's going to be a real opportunity, a year of opportunity for that. It'll be fascinating to see where we are in terms of the whole Bitcoin industry in another 12 months time. I'm really excited on multiple levels for it. This group's doing some really good development, and there's a lot happening globally as well. It's exciting times.
Thank you very much. You know, I agree. And look how far everything has come in the last 12 months. Look, gentlemen, I think we might wrap it up there. Appreciate everyone's time, and let's keep this in the calendar for last Sunday of every month. Kiwi Bitcoin Builders, an opportunity to share what we're working on and what's happening in the Bitcoin space in New Zealand. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Cody.
Thanks, Cody. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you for listening. I do hope you enjoyed the show. I am Cody Ellingham, and that was the Transformation of Value. If you would like to get in touch, please send me an email at hello@thetransformationofvalue.com, and I will get back to you.